upon India, it's open to the general public, and there's also a cost.
Troubadour, it's blues, bluegrass, and vintage folk. It's 1950s country and rhythm and blues. Troubadour plays roots music without bounds or barriers. Thursday, 2 to 4 p.m. at WMBR, Cambridge.
It will be so lonely, you could die.
Vindo barcos de África, o pensando a pouco, o to tombola e por um abisso. Para pa comara, ele é. Pangonde baco tunga, caia tobie. Savana, a vinha e a bana. Pesa bango, mayele ye, bako nga mokai. Ani sabana,
aveni rabana, alinde la vete. Ani sabana, aveni rabana, alinde la vete.
Belay dingu me ligoden ngiden yu my baba monen da goto bandirabe menena muritani ongu befeni ongu befeni lenyo muritani lenyo verma muritani. Ongu befeni, lenyo muritani, lenyo ferma, lenyo ferma.
Laban. Yes, yes, yes. Marhaban fi Music for Human. I am a Dr. Jalas Sakran and I welcome you. What good fortune has brought you here with me on this most beauteous of evenings to listen to the various night animals in their play? How joyfully they frolic. Do you hear their music? I'm here today with the inevitable Mr. Five. Mr. Five, are you actually there?
Greetings.
Marhaban, Mr. Five. Mr. Five, how the ages have passed since I have last encountered you.
There's been a bit of a lapse.
There has. But now you are here. And Five, of course, is your natural given name, your family name.
Right, and it's Five with a P. That's F-I-V-P-E. Five.
And it bears striking similarity to the number, the number five, and has a similar history as a word, I believe.
Right, that depends on the translation you use. The Crest translation, but it originally started out in reverse was originally the name, not in reverse, but Five reversed.
I see. But very ancient. I think this is not too well known, but very ancient. Renderings of the word fourth and fifth numeral were actually palindromic, because there was a belief in the symmetry of certain prime numeral names.
Right.
But like many beautiful things, this was lost to the damaging forces of time, history, politics, and everything, even a word, must suffer from the journey. But sometimes even the suffering is elegant.
Right, my grandfather told me a story about how several famous mathematicians and artists used to write in reverse and then put it in front of a mirror so they could read it. My grandfather told me he thinks that's how our name got reversed, is that someone didn't know they were supposed to read it from a mirror.
I see.
Later on, that was inscribed on a gravestone and we became the Fives.
So this might be after the post, it's the post-palindromic
Renaissance.
Precisely.
Right.
This corruption of the original name. I also used to use a similar cryptic method of communicating with my students, that instead of using a mirror, we would rotate the text by 90 degrees as we wrote it, and then the person who wished to read it would simply rotate the words and then be able to understand. Unfortunately, you know, we did not really realize that someone could also just rotate the paper. So this way many secrets were lost, and various demons began to intercept and rearrange our messages.
Was that every word you rotated 90 degrees?
Or no, the entire text.
The entire page. Wow.
May not have been too wise there.
Right, but you didn't know that until you experimented with it.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to put yourself in the place of the mischief maker. You know, we simply try to defend against it, but you know, at some level, you have to trust people, and we did, but perhaps a little more than we ought to have done.
Right. But at the same time, it's important to always allow yourself to trust and allow yourself to keep building those nodes, building up your graph and connecting edges and moving more to the center or away from it, and just exploring the different parameters that exist inside your circles.
Exploring those circles, I think, is generally a very valuable thing. Let's explore an expansion into the telephone space. If you'd like to call in and be our expansion, the number is 617-253-8810, and we have several operators. Marhaban, caller. Yes, caller, marhaban. Caller, are you with us? I think that's the...
Sounds like a lost soul.
Caller may be experiencing some problems with the call. Caller sounds somewhat disturbed. Caller.
Well, maybe. Caller, are you there? Is your radio tuned in? Are you sure your radio is tuned in? I wonder, are you playing that in reverse? After a brief foray into palindromes, I'm considering talking in reverse. Especially... Caller? I'm still not getting a good signal. You might want to try rebooting, or hanging up and calling again.
The hang up is a possibility here. We can also experiment with a number of filters.
Is there a way we can reverse this? I feel like the caller is calling in reverse.
Let's try something. Caller, speak. Caller. That does not sound very right. Stay with us, caller. Our engineer will be experimenting with a number of monster and other effect decoders. So, well, that's a very nice caller. Mr. Five, you have much experience in your work with this sort of behavior.
Just a little. A lot of this seems to me seems like some previous work we've done on spiritual manifestations. A lot of times they come in reverse, and they just sort of appear out of nowhere, and you get this garbled, demonic-sounding voice. And many times that happens when there's almost a rift in the spirit, and it's like a defective gene getting spliced with bacteria and creating super bacteria, mega bacterias.
Yeah, sort of spiritual evolution, but without reproduction in the ordinary sense. It does not cause a conventional birth. It causes a change in an already wide supply of organisms.
Right.
Let's try putting someone else on a new line and keeping the original demented caller. Marhaban.
Oh.
Marhaban, caller.
Dominic Mango is a dick.
Well, not sure. Not sure what is... what message is being transmitted.
If you'd like to call in, not about, preferably in forward speak, or upside down speak is fine with us. Invert head.
I'm very, very accustomed to 90-degree rotated speech.
Oh yeah, black and white, or HSV speak, or again, the number to call on is 617-253-8810, and we'll gladly listen.
Caller, marhaban.
Hey guys.
Welcome to the air. Marhaban. Thank you for speaking in forward speak.
You try to become accustomed to that.
I will. Let's try bringing another person on, and we'll swipe out that confused individual. Caller 3, marhaban. Well... not sure what I prefer there. I think that we may be the victim of a New Age hate crime.
I'm a head. Something head. I was listening to this radio.
What did you learn there?
Nothing.
You learned nothing on the radio?
Not anything particular.
Oh. Dr. Jahal has tried to give a quick lesson on cryptography earlier in the show. Did you catch any of that?
I heard someone spell their name with a P So I flicked through the radio station, then I probably flicked through the radio stations again, and I turned on the radio.
Huh.
That sounds like a very promising start to an evening. Just turning something on, becoming receptive. I spent many years with my students trying only to achieve that achievement. Let's experiment with the reversed speech caller again. Caller, marhaban.
Hello?
Hello, welcome.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the Friday the 13th is kind of awakening some of the ghouls?
I think it's entirely possible. I'm not sure if they have a calendar, but it wouldn't surprise me. Mr. Five, your take?
Well, I would never rule that out. I've seen. Do you have experience with them today or any other Fridays?
Just the vibe tonight I'm hearing.
Huh.
Seems a little ghoulisher. I thought for a minute it was Halloween, but that's maybe 13. I don't know. I'm feeling a...
Well, 31 is 13 reversed, and tonight that's a very important thing to be recognizing.
Ah, so maybe that's... I'm just trying to figure out the vibe.
Right, we also are going into a I'm not sure how to say it in English. My teacher used to call it a pyramidical moon.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me more about that.
Well, he himself was from Chad, and there was an ancient tradition there of speaking about the pyramids and pyramids from other countries and how these brought about new eras and sort of new epochs of time that were very distinguishable from others, especially spiritually. And recently there's been some archaeological digs that have uncovered some underground pyramids and ruins, and many, many spiritual advocates are saying that this is bringing about some very drastic changes in both our realm and others.
Huh. Now, are the pyramids that they're underground pyramids that they're uncovering, are they upside down?
I think all of that. I mean, you know, in English there is a particularly disturbing phrase which is right side up, as though there were a proper direction to things.
Right.
And all the atlases that we see, north is always up, but really there is no particular reason that south should not be up.
Right, and you can just rotate the page, and it's up or down.
Friday the 13th.
Well, back and forth.
Right.
Yes. No. Yes.
Yes. Caller.
Are you allowed to believe in that? Legally.
To legally believe that south is up?
Oh yeah, you are. Okay.
I mean, this is not France, you know. We're permitted here to believe as we like to believe. I would be very interested in the, a contribution from a person of law who could speak authoritatively on that.
Right, I don't think there's copyrights on North or South yet.
Is that worth looking into?
And even if there were, would thinking a particular thing incur a usage fee of some kind?
Not unless you were thinking for profit.
So if a song entered your head and then a group of people were listening to your brainwave, then you could be liable for, say, $1,000 per measurement.
Right. I think this is one of those fields that's coming up. Neurocopyright. When we get to the point where we can embed memories and where we're extracting memories, how can we charge for that?
Is this the new age, new paradigm?
I mean, I'm not sure if really the new age would espouse something along those lines, but it would be an interesting way to monetize the whole enterprise.
Right.
I mean, someone writes a book which chronicles their discoveries about the human experience over 13 decades, and then many young people read this book, and then they go on thinking these same thoughts throughout their lives, and this elderly person will not benefit from their experience as they should.
So what needs to be, I don't know if it exists or needs to be created, is some sort of tracking of these shared thoughts or reused thoughts. Wow.
That's right. So that the person who really raises the level of human experience. So let's take a real example. So for instance, I may in the next year discover how to read human thoughts. Then I write a novel or a treatise or perhaps an encyclopedia where I explain to anyone how they could also read human thoughts, not in a year, but in an hour, or however long it takes to read this encyclopedia. Then they go and they live their lives reading people's thoughts. I have gained, enough money from this discovery to eat a loaf of bread and a fish for one afternoon, but then I'm hungry for the next year. Yet all these young children are profiting, by in their schoolwork and in encounters with adults from my discovery. And
right.
It's not really appropriate that I would be dying in spite of having added some value to the world.
So this is kind of like hyper intellectual copyright.
That's right. I'm not sure. Maybe the first invention that I would have to make is a device for measuring whether or not people are actually thinking thoughts that are influenced from my thoughts.
Book, right.
Yeah.
Right. You have to figure out that, because there is such a thing as, I don't know the correct term, but when two people think about the same thing at the same time, like a parallel
We might call
light bulb going off, let's
being
say.
Simpatico or animal magnetism. Al magnetisiyya al haywaniyya, as we would say.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, if people could. If you had a way of harnessing, there's kind of the intelligence and then there's the spirituality.
Yeah, I don't actually mean magnetism. Like, it could not be used to drive an engine.
Are you sure?
I am not sure, but it certainly, I think, would be a challenge.
Or a small engine.
A small engine.
To transport bags of sand. Or dog food. Dog food to your dogs.
That's a good idea. Or
right.
Milk to your cat.
Yeah, just trying to bring it inside.
Huh. I like the idea, though, of being able to share in other people's thoughts or share my own thoughts.
Or to charge for a person's thoughts. I mean, it's on its way.
So you're looking at this purely as a...
No, that would be myself.
I'm sorry?
I would say that for myself, a lot of my thoughts, I keep myself like disconnected from the real world with thoughts and almost you said liable earlier. That was the only word I heard out of the whole of what you were saying. I heard liable. I heard the word liable. That word really stuck out for me.
Yeah.
I don't think it was in the context that you heard it in.
Yeah, liability is a real issue.
I was thinking about like able to lie. Able to tell lies.
Ah, that would be a neologistical issue, I think.
Hmm. Well, I think if you can monetize thoughts, I think you could figure out the logistics.
It could happen. It's near.
Hmm.
The technology is there. It's just... really adapting the legal system, I think, to permit thought charging.
Now, can I subscribe to this thought charging, like a monthly subscription, and maybe take a vacation and live my own life, and then other months, like let's say in the winter when it's really cold, and maybe I can tap into someone in Hawaii or something like that?
So that you could... I mean, I'm not sure that it's possible to experience their experiences.
Hmm.
Let's try to bring in another wavelength.
If you're honest, then you give out free thought charge or free thoughting.
I think... I think that's an excellent point. I think that's inevitable that someone would sit there in their basement and broadcast their thoughts. Let's join a new wavelength here. We have Hibiscus. Hibiscus, welcome.
It's been a long time.
That it has. Welcome.
I've been in a weird place.
Welcome back. Tell us about this place. This telling too, I think, will be a way for us to share your thoughts.
Well, the weird thing about this place is, I didn't have much thoughts while I was there.
So you would be a customer.
And, yeah, I mean, sure. I don't know where it was, so there's not much to say.
And yet there are, I see many people in my day-to-day life that... yearn for that sort of oblivion.
Oh, absolutely. That's why I went.
Why'd you come in your back, though? Or not?
I came to tell everyone about it.
Did that lady say I was a customer? Is that what I was supposed to say?
That you were a customer? Well, in my mind, I would not really encourage you to say that you were a customer unless you were indeed a customer. I think that would keep things a little simple.
I never had any customers, and I never gave out any...
You never...
Did I just make that person cough? No, I didn't make that person cough.
It's possible that you did. That your thought, through this method of broadcasting that we are experimenting with now, caught in the person's throat, that you irritated their...
That's exactly what's happening.
Their throat.
Because my voice is annoying?
Not your voice, no. That your your thought irritated their throat.
Maybe you somehow were blocking their expression of speech.
Hmm. It's intriguing.
Well, it's gone now, so that's good. That means you're thinking something else.
That's good.
Thinking smooth thoughts.
All right.
Thinking silky liquid oil thoughts.
I think you're blocking me there for a second.
Uh-oh.
Wow, that was a fake cough. Come on.
I wonder if we can use coughs as indicators for... I mean, this is like our first step at neuroactivity monitoring. Hmm.
I think Robert may have had a point, though, there, that Hibiscus's cough was intended to bring up a philosophical point.
Hmm.
Was the first cough the girl coughed? I thought it was someone else coughing. I couldn't even tell the difference.
But maybe you bring up another point where the thoughts... I mean, can I prevent thoughts? Is that some like a plug-in that you can add to this thought generator that you got going?
Hmm, that's true. That could be an issue. That I'm sitting there, I'm browsing Obama's thoughts, and which you can do now, and then some advertisement appears for some multiplayer online game and prevents you from thinking.
But you're not really affecting his thoughts then. You want to affect Obama's thoughts, though, right?
No, I want to be a passive receiver for his thoughts. I want to... My desire is to make my own brain an antenna to receive his thoughts.
And then the advertisement gets in the way.
Yeah, precisely.
But maybe... Maybe you could find a way.
Right. Do you think there's a possibility that people could then become just agents of advertising, and when you try and tune in, you just get an ad?
Right.
I think that to some extent we're already there.
Huh.
That
To some extent.
I meet my, a young person on the public transportation vehicle, and he tells me, sir, old man, have you considered Old Spice or a variety of other deodorizing products? And I say to him, how I pity you that you have simply become an agent of some advertising machine.
Right, but maybe there's a value in that. It's hard to overlook helpful suggestions.
Maybe, like, also, if they just weren't speaking, you started to tune into their wavelengths, their own personal radio, their own personal internal conversations. You would hear a lot of different kinds of advertisements.
Yeah. There'd be some weird ones in there, I bet.
Yeah.
But isn't that the joy of the exploration?
That is the joy.
I mean, I think that the properly tuned meditative practitioner can already tune in. And that's the reason that many of us do not tune in to each other's thoughts.
Right.
Because...
The advertising.
Precisely. It's, I listen to this young man's thought process and I realize that...
Is it weird that I was going to say he wanted you to smell like Old Spice? Is that weird? He did. The guy wanted you to smell like Old Spice.
I think there is something to that, but...
He was addicted to Old Spice, man. What the hell?
It's possible.
It's all right.
It's just so different from how I ordinarily smell, and I've smelled this way for decades.
Hey man, I don't like the smell of Old Spice either. Don't get me wrong.
I'm not really familiar. And he himself had a metallic sort of... if there were such a thing as an aluminum flower, that would be this child's smell.
Mm-hmm.
Could this thought kind of go be related to animals? Can you get into animal thoughts?
What's interesting is who's kind of, you know, taken over. Because I would think animals are most receptive to other people invading their own personal little radio stations.
Mm-hmm.
So they may not even really be giving very clear signals out. So some other manipulative people are, you know, putting in their advertisements in their radio stations.
Interesting.
I think that...
I think animals are mostly hungry, but that's kind of weird that you, you
we're
have...
guessing.
I didn't know you guys could have cut me off, as far as my talking to this radio show. I have a good time talking and listening to this radio show. I'm glad MIT does have their own thing for you find people to communicate with yourselves with.
No, I think it's a great service. I think much of our issues with interfacing with animals is that, well, to begin with, the type of thought is so restrictive and different from what we are accustomed to. That a dog may spend several hours a day intrigued by a new smell and then proceed to, you know, bark for several hours about nothing.
Right.
But isn't that our own perception?
I think there is a lot of insecurity there.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Interesting.
Clearly.
I don't think there's much doubt about it.
No, and I had that similar experience when, you know, interfacing with that child on the vehicle.
You mean the old man?
No, I was the old man, and he must have been...
Oh.
30.
Okay, this story's changing.
Is this all about the same thing? Have we been on the same topic? Wow, I don't even understand how this stuff relates. You guys at MIT are so smart.
Well, Robert, maybe we're just wrong. I think it's difficult to distinguish sometimes between...
I think you pass a threshold.
There's a threshold,
and then it's not clear anymore. Like, you're so right at some point.
That it's completely baffling.
Right.
The idea.
It's not clear anymore. Well, how right is this really?
I mean, Robert, if you had a conversation about Newton's second law with Aristotle was, you know... quite the intellectual force in his time, but he would have rejected you, I think, out of hand.
So people that are hungry are less intellectual.
That's not true, right?
I'm not sure. I think that my most...
I don't really think about it. I thought I had thoughts for a long time when I started calling this show. I thought I had thoughts. Usually, for the most part... I only think about, I don't really think about anything. This radio show is strange. I like to listen to it. When I started listening, it was soon as you listen to music or turn on the radio. I don't know. I can't describe my own self. That's bad. But what I just said before that.
I think you're making some headway on those thoughts.
Yeah, I'm not sure that it's a problem that you can't describe your own process.
The important thing is that your thoughts are impacting other people's coughs. I mean, at the least, you're making people cough out there.
Speaking of which, I must excuse myself. I must leave the circle.
Well, thank you so much for being with us.
And thank you for having me. Namaste.
Masarana. Let's bring someone else on the line, if that's possible. Let's try again. Caller 8, marhaba.
كيف حالك?
Thank you, alhamdulillah.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, caller.
So, I hear that you make people cough.
Well, I think you are referring to Robert, who is also on the line there. Robert, are you still with us?
I don't think I make people cough. I think that dust particles in the studio.
I think that's me right now
cough.
Making you cough.
But I do sometimes as a defense mechanism to prove I'm right. Like if I'm thinking about something, I'll just like listen and I'll be like, oh, I'm right. Or like about anything. Like so I'll just like flick through the radio. And I'll be like, they'll be like, whatever. And I'll be like, oh, I'm right.
That's very ridiculous.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that story.
Well, caller, maybe we'll bring someone else on until
people just think that they're like right all the time.
Until you have
just
a chance.
Go with what's right in your own head, and you're just like,
To have
like
some.
That's bad, but
have some tea.
I do that.
I believe that. Let's.
You don't believe that?
No. I'm with you there. I
did that my whole life and didn't realize it, and it like ruined me.
Self-doubt is an important mechanism for growth. So let's bring someone else in.
Self-doubt is an important mechanism for growth?
I believe it. I do. That.
I think we need another opinion on this.
We must spend time reflecting in order to grow. That we have to come back and question ourselves and question.
Oh wait, no, that guy was right, because I guess I self-doubt all the time, but I try not to self-doubt.
Well, let's bring another voice in.
That's people. I'm sorry. That's bad, negative people affecting my thought process.
Let's bring in a voice to question us, if that's possible.
Number for that. Oh, did we just call your house?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm supposed to talk to MIT.
Oh, there's a different radio number.
There is, yeah.
I was trying to be polite. That's why I was calling.
I have a question.
I don't even want to call
yeah,
the radio
caller.
Show anymore.
Caller.
I thought it was cool that you
I have
put
a
it
question.
On at night, though.
Yes, caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes.
Marhaban.
I was wondering if you could help me.
Yes.
I am coming in contact with a lot of people who preface what they say to me that they are guided. And I'm not quite sure who they are guided by, but it seems to me to be some new saying, some new way of doing what you want and saying what you want without being responsible for it personally because you were guided.
That someone told you to behave a particular way.
Or their actions. They are claiming their actions were taken because they were guided to take those actions.
I see.
I think conditions would be the word that they should be using. I was conditioned to take those actions.
I see. Mm. Well, caller, I wonder briefly about... I mean, you did not say exactly what they were doing.
Well...
I assume that it must have been something annoying somehow or disruptive to you, because if they were guided to behave nicely or to donate generously, then naturally we would not question their ridiculous beliefs.
Yeah.
You know who I am? I only donate to things that I think are going to benefit me, because I'm like the government.
It aggravates me because I don't know if they're here for me to learn a lesson, if they are a person that was put into my life for me to learn something about my own tolerance, or if I've just had enough of...
Could you give some examples of situations?
Talk about I was guided. I don't ever seem to be guided. I seem to make my own decisions, and I'm a very spiritual person.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the difference between making my own choices for what is best for me at the time and being guided.
Well, caller, if you wouldn't mind helping us by giving an example or a story.
Oh, okay. I have a great example.
That would be lovely.
We have my brother-in-law who died 1 year ago this weekend. And so my sister is in deep grief. So
I can't listen to this stuff. I'm glad you guys have real callers now. Bye.
Okay,
so,
my salama to Robert and our condolences to your loss there.
Yeah. Well, she has been guided by her husband who is deceased pretty much this whole year. And I don't know if this is a healthy thing for her or if it is just an escape from reality without him.
I see. And you're concerned about your sibling?
Correct.
Well, I think that...
I mean, I think without more details about who they're being guided by, you know, that's... it's fair to have doubt, but if they have a very good description visually...
I mean, does she tend to be comforted by this guidance, this connection?
Yes. Yes.
She does.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it disturb you?
A good question. I guess I don't have an answer to that. I just want what's best for her.
I think that's very fair. But, you know, I have a lot of friends who are... I move a lot within intellectual circles and I encourage people to see things spiritually also. And they very, very often are disturbed by this. I think because there is so much to the thought process that they cannot access or question. But it's inevitable that that will be the case, that I will have a feeling that I cannot justify or do not care to justify, and I may explain it in some logical way, but my behaviors are ultimately, you know, questionable only by myself, you know, and the best thing to I think is to for her to have a mirror who, you know, who is sincere and who cares a great deal about her, and to just let her be sure that she understands what she is doing.
I think the key word is discernment. How do you discern what is imaginary guidance with true guidance, true inner guidance? You can make either, you can make discernment on just what is coming from your ego, what is coming from the highest essence of yourself.
I'm with you there, but I think there's an interesting point also, which is that would you question her actions so much if she simply told you, this is what I imagine my late spouse to feel, or if she said to you, this is coming from inside, that I've reflected a great deal and this is my choice.
Good
and it
point.
it is beyond debate, and I only ask for support.
Good point. That is helpful, thank you.
You know, I hope it is helpful.
It is, yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what it's labeled, as long as it's helping her.
And yeah, I hope that you've also had time to grieve. Because a year in some ways is a long time, but in other ways it's a very brief time.
I thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Masalama. It sounds like a troubled period. Should we try to bring in one last voice? Caller, marhaban.
Marhaban.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. I was a little disturbed by the talk of today. I felt compelled to call in. And, I think you guys really need to think more about other people. You need to think outside of yourself more. I think you guys are trapped in the self-delusion. And
that's great. It's wonderful that you called in, because I think we all need that mirror. We need that faithful, sincere voice.
Well, yeah, but see, you're using the word we now. Right? It's not about you, it's about me. It's about Mr. Five.
Right, it's about...
It's less about Mr. Five, though.
Well...
It's about you.
It is about me. It's about all of us.
Right. Mostly me and Mr. Five. So I think that's something to keep in mind. And what have you been eating recently?
Recently my...
Feels like a lot of dairy.
I've started really consuming a great deal of dietary pumpkin, and which is high in magnesium and manganese, which has really helped, but has caused various digestive issues.
Maybe you should pursue that some more.
I have been.
Okay. What about the broccoli?
I'm not really a supporter of broccoli or the broccoli industry.
Well, you know, I mean, are you aware that most homosexuals are self-hating homophobes?
Are you
95%?
Are you suggesting that my, you know, dislike for broccoli indicates that I'm self-hating vegetable of some kind?
No, I was talking about myself there, actually.
I see.
So...
I see. Well, to me, broccoli is a small tree, and I don't eat trees, so I'm not really sure why I should be compelled to eat a small one.
The thing about broccoli is that
are you kind of a tree yourself?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just asking him if he was somewhat of a tree himself.
I might be a tree, but if I were... That would make me cannibalistic in eating broccoli.
Right.
Yeah.
Which may be the real cause here.
I see.
What about cauliflower? How's that?
I'm not a fan of cauliflower, because cauliflower is a small white tree.
What about pumpkin?
I like a little bit
of a tree. If you turn it upside down on its stem.
Maybe. I don't automatically rotate things. Well, unfortunately, caller, our engineer is indicating that our time is just about ended.
I think you got what you needed.
I think there is some truth to that, and I hope we all got what we needed tonight. So thank you to our callers tonight, and to Hibiscus for joining us.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
And the inevitable Mr. Five. I am Dr. Jalis Sakran here with Music for Humans, New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We're here at WMBR 88.1 FM in Cambridge. Stay tuned for Massachusetts Bay and Response. Ma'asalam.
Safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number 3.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number 4.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Massachusetts Bay. We have a special episode tonight. It's only me. My friendly co-host, Brad Simpson, is here in the booth with me, but he doesn't have a track. So I'm taking over. I'm going to play a special long track for you guys tonight. In fact, I'm already playing it in the background. It's just really quiet. No, I'm lying. Okay, all right, guys. It's not true. I'm having a little technical problem. I'm wondering if Brad can help me sort it out. In the meantime, I'm going to explain to you guys what it is that's going on here tonight. So I have a special 30-minute track for you. Normally I play 15 minutes, as you know, of field recordings from Squanum Point Park, which is a little bird sanctuary.